Hi, I'm Nikki from Teaching Autism, and welcome to the Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. Are you an autism or special education professional? Are you a teacher or therapist looking for support and new ideas? You may even be a parent, family member, or carer. This podcast is perfect to help you find out more information, support, and get some of your questions answered. Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode on our Teaching Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. This week is another requested episode that I receive a lot of questions about every week, and it's all about stimming. Stimming is a self-stimulating behaviour, and this can usually involve a repetitive movement or sound. And you may be thinking, well, that's very vague. How do I know what stimming is? And to be honest, it can be different for everyone. And you don't have to be diagnosed with autism in order to stim. You may be stimming yourself. When you're nervous, is there something that you do to relieve tension? Do you twirl your hair? Bite your fingernails? Drum your fingers on the desk? I know for me, it's very much playing with my hair. These things can help ease your nerves and tension. However, we know that this behaviour could be inappropriate. For example, drumming your fingers on the desk when someone's trying to talk to you, that's going to be distracting and it's going to hinder your ability to listen and communicate between each other effectively. So you can recognize it and realize when not to do it. However, for our autistic students, stimming can be a lot more obvious. Your student may rock back and forth. They may like to twirl around or flap their hands. And these things can last a few seconds or they could last 10 to 15 minutes. And many of our students, if not most of them, won't realise that their stimming is affecting anyone else around them, or that it's inappropriate to do it at certain times or in certain places. And one of the biggest differences is that our autistic students will have differences in stimming from us due to the type, quantity and obviousness of the stimming behaviour. The most common stims that I have seen through my years are rocking back and forth, flapping hands around, or moving them back and forth fast across their face. Jumping and twirling around, pulling hair, repeating words, sniffing people or objects, rearranging objects, blinking repeatedly, staring at lights or rotating objects. Wheels were a huge one recently for a student I had. Rubbing or scratching an area of skin. Have you ever had a student who spent their time lining up and arranging their toys rather than playing with them? And this can come under repetitive behaviours. Now, there's a lot of different types of repetitive behaviours, and some of these can cause harm. So some examples of ones that can cause harm are headbanging, punching, biting, rubbing or scratching skin, picking off scabs and swallowing dangerous items. Stimming can cover each of our senses as well. So, for example, auditory stimming can consist of vocal sounds, like humming or repetitive speech. They may have a high-pitched shriek, or they may cover and uncover their ears. Tactile stimming can consist of rubbing or scratching skin, opening and closing their fists, or tapping their fingers. Visual stimming can consist of staring or gazing at objects, especially lights or moving objects. It could be moving their hands across their eyes, turning lights on and off, or lining up objects and placing them in different ways. Vestibular stimming can consist of rocking back and forth, spinning around, moving or jumping. Olfactory or taste stimming can consist of licking, tasting objects or sniffing and smelling other people and objects. A common question that I get asked is, but why do they stim? What is the reason for doing it? And there's a huge range of different reasons why, but I'm going to share the most common four now. Number one, it can help them to gain sensory input. If you see them hand flapping, this may be providing themselves with some visual stimulation. Number two, it can help them to reduce sensory input. So if you see them trying to focus in on one particular sound, it may be because this helps to reduce the rest of the noisy environment around them. Number three, stimming can help to deal with stress and anxiety. Number four, it can provide a way to pass the time and they may enjoy stimming. Now, if in the past a certain stim has gained attention for the individual, this may also be a cause for why that student will display the stim ongoing, because it gets them the attention and reaction that they want. However, this can be rare and is not always the case. The best way to find out the reason why your student may be displaying certain stimming behaviours is to speak to a behaviour specialist or therapist, and they can help you understand more about this. Some people worry that stimming may be a bad thing and that we need to stop it. But as you can see from those four reasons I've shared, stimming isn't necessarily a bad thing and we don't really need to stop it. The only time that I ever recommend trying to lessen or stop stimming behaviours is when it's disrupted to others around them in an unmanageable way or that it affects the individual's quality of life. Otherwise, we can just provide opportunities for them to stim throughout the day. For example, if you have a student who has maybe a noisy stim, you can direct them to another area of the classroom for their stimming so that it lessens the distractions for the rest of the students. Also, try and avoid punishments for stimming. Your student is displaying this behaviour because of an underlying reason. By punishing them and trying to change the behaviour, you're not actually working on the reason why, the function of the behaviour. So you're most likely going to just have your student replace this with another behaviour. Speak to a therapist or behaviour specialist about the reasons why your student is stimming. And then try to find other activities that are more suitable or appropriate through the day to use. So, for example, you could provide your student with squeezing a stress ball if they usually flap their hands. It's also worth noting that stimming behaviours can change, and they can also become more or less frequent during different circumstances. This may be that the behaviours reduce when the student is growing older and maturing, but it could also mean that the stimming behaviours increase when the student is in a stressful situation. I've also received questions over the years about the physical appearance of stimming for your students. So, for example, pulling faces, stamping, or going into positions that may look strange or uncomfortable to you. And this can be quite frightening for a lot of people, as they may assume that the stimming is causing pain to the student. What you need to remember is stimming is a self-stimulatory behaviour, and the student is giving themselves the sensory input that they need. So while this may look a little uncomfortable to you, for them, they could be finding it pleasing, soothing, and relaxing. Now, there's also the possibility that certain stimming behaviours can be down to medical issues, such as a ear infection or a migraine. So if your student is displaying a new stimming behaviour and it's quite severe or you're concerned about it, take them to a doctor for a medical exam. They could have nothing wrong with them and it's just a new stimming behaviour that they're displaying. But I always like to be overcautious, especially with our non-verbal students, because I don't want to miss anything out. There's also been times when teachers have reached out to me, and parents too, because a student or their child is being bullied because of their stimming behaviours. Right now, it's 2019 and autism awareness and acceptance grows every year, and we have come a very long way. However, there's still more work to be done to share more about autism. And with this, there's more awareness about stimming that needs to be shared as well. What I will say is, if you're a teacher or an education professional, then you are in a position of power that you were able to teach your students about autism and about stimming as well, especially if you have a student who is displaying stimming behaviours. You could share a PowerPoint presentation that talks about stimming, why people do it, how you can support them, and give them the understanding needed about stimming. If we do this from a young age, then our future population will be far more open-minded and tolerant. I would also recommend to assess why your student is stimming. Get to the root cause of it, and then see if there's anything you can do to help the student. For example, if large crowds cause issues, especially when you have whole school assembly, sit the student in the back row so they don't feel closed in by everyone. Or if loud noises are a cause, offer a quiet area of your classroom for them to go to when they're feeling that the noise level is too much. So that is my short and sweet podcast episode today all about stimming. I hope that you were able to find out some helpful information all about stimming and ways that you can support your students who are displaying self-stimulatory behaviours. Thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you again soon.